This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Upstart, Raycon, Talkspace, and Omax CryoFreeze. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it at Studio Night Pants. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media, Night Pants Nation. I can't say thank you all enough. You got your shorts on, you got your night pants on, y'all comfortable during the virus, and I appreciate all that you do. Make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel. You're going to be getting video every Tuesday over there, audio on Monday. Make sure you're subscribed to the Patreon. I say it's $5 a month. I'm not doing any tiers, no merch and shit like that. It's five motherfucking dollars. It's $60 a year. Listen, I know that's a lot of money to some people. I know that's a cell phone bill, a utility bill. I get it. But if you're looking for more of the Honeydew weekly, it's two shows now, one on Patreon, $60 a year. You can opt out whenever you want. $5, you're going to get four or five shows. Look for a 5-week month. Maximize your money. You know what I'm saying? Then it's $1 an episode, and then you can bounce out if you want to. I hope you don't, because we've got some really good episodes. We talked to somebody that died. Okay. And I'm going to keep saying it, this poor girl, but two pussies. All right. Facebook fan page, all of it. Sign up to honeydewpodcast.com. That's where you can get the merch. Everything is all there for you. All right. And, you know, I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. Whether you live here in LA or wherever you live in the world, thank you, by the way. Some of you have reached out from Canada, Great Britain, to take your lessons. Thank you very much. They offer online music lessons here from locally trained Los Angeles musicians. Go to santamonicamusic.com. Use the code Honeydew. They're going to waive the registration fee, and they're going to give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. That link is also on the honeydewpodcast.com. Now that all that is out of the way, you know what we do over here? We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. Today's storyteller returns, and I've been super excited. We've been trying to make this happen for a minute. There's a lot of shit going on out there, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Santino is back,
yay!
Y'all.
Yay! I want him to be clapping to the wall.
Come on, are you clapping, Ash? He's clapping and laughing.
What's up,
baby?
How are
you, bro? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm good mid-pandemic. I'm feeling okay.
You feel like we're mid? You feel like we're...
Yeah, midway through.
I'm hoping.
Midway through. This is the halfway point. This is the second lap. I hope so.
I think we're midway.
All right. I think we'll be done by this next March. That's right. My guess.
That's when it
started.
That's
the groundhog's guess.
That's a full year.
I think it's full year. I think we're just through midway point right now.
I mean, you do look back. I just want to say this. I look at these old pictures of everybody that had masks on, black and white, cats and shit and everything. And then you're like, oh, well, yeah, for so long we have. Eventually we're going to get there.
Yeah.
When? We don't know. But it's good to see you. I'm glad you're healthy.
Same. Ditto.
You had a little health scare we're going to talk about here in a minute. But before we do, please plug everything. All of it.
You know, what I'm doing right now is because of no touring and no TV right now. So go check out the Whiskey Ginger podcast, which you've been a guest on. You will be coming back.
Anytime.
And then also Bad Friends with me and Bobby Lee. Both of those shows, go check them out on the YouTubes and then wherever you can download audio podcasts. AndrewSantino.com links you to all that stuff anyway. So go check it out, man. That's fun. That's been fun for me to continue to do that stuff because, you know, that's what we got going on right now. If we can't tour and I can't shoot anything, you know. Although I know Bobby did a commercial. I was mad. And Brennan, Neil called me and did a commercial too. Him and Kevin Hart were doing like a Chase Bank commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? What are you shooting now? Let me come by. Let me walk around in the background. Cash a check. Trying to get a little check from Chase.
Camera check.
Can I get this on Chase? No, they're both two people I know. We're doing productions, commercials, stuff like that, but.
But nobody's got Dave.
Dave's not coming back. Dave on FX isn't coming back until
next year. Can you stream that, like binge that right now?
Hulu, baby.
On Hulu.
Hulu,
all right,
baby.
Good.
They made
it's
a big
so
deal
good,
with Hulu.
Dude. It really
Thank
is.
You.
It is. And you're
you.
Great in it, dude.
Grazie, grazie. It's a fun show. I hope. No, we are coming back 100%, but we, I'll tell you this. I'm probably not supposed to, but it's fine. But we, you know, the show did so well that they bragged about it. FX bragged about it. They put out a press release that was like the highest rated comedy they've ever had in history.
In history? Wow.
In the network's history.
Yeah.
And because they bragged about it, of course, everybody was like, oh, so it did well? Like, yeah. And we're like, well, don't you?
Yeah, right.
And they were like, oh, I mean, we didn't, I didn't know it did, we don't know if it did that well. We're
fan,
like,
fan appreciate us. Fan, I think it did pretty acclaimed. Well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were, of course, we were begging them. We're like, we're not going to be able to shoot. We're not going to be able to shoot. So help us out. Give us a little gift, you know? Because I think they know everyone is waiting. We can't work. I can't work. Nobody can work. I'm already on a contract with them. So even if I wanted to do something else, which doesn't even exist, I would have to ask them to let me out to do something else. So they got me, baby.
Yeah.
Got me. FX got me.
I got you right now.
Yeah.
So look, I want to talk about this because you were like, I don't know. You had
Papa had a fall.
You had a fall recently.
Papa had a fall.
Let's talk about it.
And Bobby made fun of me for like an hour and a half on the phone.
What happened? Because you went to the hospital, right?
I did. The next morning. I should have gone at night. Yeah. I had to sleep it off. Well, what happened was, I can see I got a little scar here by the eye. We had that earthquake 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had been out during the day, all day in the sun. And then that night, I went to my neighbor's house, who we've never really hung out. He was like, come over, have a drink with this other neighbor. Nice guy. I said, yeah, I'll come over. I'll have a drink. So we had a couple of drinks and nothing unusual for me though. I like to have a couple of, nothing big. We were just drinking, casually talking for like 3 or 4 hours. So I go home. I get in bed. Everything is normal. The earthquake is like 3:30 or something like that, and 4 in the morning. Dude, I popped up so fast. I mean, because I hear stuff breaking. My office used to be where we shot the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now we shoot it at a different, so my office is...
Where I came. I was at your place.
That's right. You came to the house.
Yeah.
And now there's stuff everywhere in that room because it's a dead room now. It's not, I moved everything out. So there's pictures on the floor. There's stuff leaning that's not put up all the way. So stuff was falling and breaking, and I'm panicking because I'm like, oh my God. In my mind, even though this isn't real, the dog had been in our room. I thought the dog was in my office.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I had this, you know when you have like a dream and you wake up and you're like, that's what's happening. It wasn't. I think the dog is in the office, so I run into the office. And as I'm running in there, the earthquake and my dizziness and getting up so fast, and I'm sure liquor in the blood is not good, right?
The trifecta.
Oh, bro. 1, 2, 3. I start getting dizzy and I grab onto the wall, and there's the hallway bathroom is right outside of our room. And I sit down on the toilet to catch my balance because my head was spinning, you know? And as I sat on the toilet, I knew it. I yelled out to her. I go, I'm not feeling good. She's what? Out like a light.
Wait, you were sitting and just tipped forward?
Passed out. And I smacked my face.
Fuck.
Against the corner of my sink. Yo,
ooh,
I'm so lucky
shit, dude.
That it wasn't my eyeball.
Yeah.
I missed my eye by an inch. So I smacked my face and I hit my head on the floor. I was out. I passed out. So I had fainted, but the...
All right, let me ask you a question, because I've, knock on wood, I've never fainted. What are you seeing the circle close? Like, what are you feeling?
It feels really... When you faint, it feels really warm. Like, it feels really warm. And then it slowly is like if you put a blanket over your head like that. It's like slow... It's like almost instantaneous though. It feels like you could stop it. Your mind is going, I'm gonna pass out. But it's like you're not working fast enough. You're
right.
Not working faster than your brain is thinking. And I must have hit my head on the sink.
So would you go like this?
I went forward and then it fell flat on the floor.
Fuck. You hit your head there too?
She's shaking me, waking me up.
Are you bleeding?
Not as bad. The cut was pronounced. It was pretty deep, but blood wasn't coming out, which was weird. So I wiped it down. We covered it up. I cleaned
How
up.
How long were you out?
Oh, second. I mean, 3 seconds.
What
four
did it
seconds.
Feel like?
I've been out a few times.
We're gonna talk about that.
I've been
that,
out a few times.
What about this time?
But this time, when you wake up, you always don't know. Like, you know, when you see a fight, if you ever see an MMA fight, and you know when the moment they wake up and they do this thing where they're like,
mm-hmm.
nothing's wrong. Why are you?
Right,
wrong?
Yeah,
you know,
what's going
yeah,
on,
you
guys?
Think it's annoying that they're. You're like, well, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Immediately, I was like, what? Why are you freaking out? Because she was yelling and screaming and shaking me. And of course, then I get up and I look in the mirror and I saw that's what happened. Because in my mind, I thought I went from the toilet to the ground. But I didn't know I hit my head. My face was warm, was real hot, super, super hot. And that's when I looked in the mirror and I saw this gash on the side of my head and cleaned it up. And we sat awake for a while talking about it. You know, like, are you okay? Is everything okay? I was okay. And the next morning, went to the urgent care.
Why?
to get my skull, to get my head checked out.
You did want, you were worried. What was something happening that you were worried? No. Or were you just like, no?
No, not at all.
No, I just, headache?
Nope, no, nothing. In fact, because I, and that was the other thing. The doctor was like, you didn't drink that much. I mean, because I told her. She was like, three drinks for a guy your size? I mean, I'm 6'1", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of waters. So it's not like the liquor. She was like, it was a combination of you getting up, like, too
I'm
fast.
I'm not an alcoholic or anything. I got a podcast called Whiskey Ginger. Yeah. I record 2-3 episodes, I was like, lady, a week.
I drink a bottle a night. This ain't nothing, this lady. No, I, of course, but I...
All right, so wait, how old are you now?
36.
So is anything starting to... Are you worried that maybe you had a seizure or
nope,
any, nothing?
No, because they checked me all out.
Okay.
She said it was a combo of the alcohol in the blood and being in the sun all day probably wasn't helping. She's like, it wasn't, but you got up so fast that your blood transfer, right? In fact, I read an article that my dad had sent me that men in their 60s have the most strokes and heart attacks in the middle of the night from getting up too fast to go to piss.
So getting up so fast.
Just if you get up too fast, yeah, your blood shifts. There's, yeah, a big blood shift from when you're laying at resting position and, mm-hmm, your resting heart rate to when you're active. And so that's what happens to older dudes. They have strokes and heart attacks in the middle of the night when they get up to piss because the blood shift. Well, that's not my beef, but I got up too fast, had the blood shift in the middle of the earthquake, which you lose in your equilibrium.
And run in a dark.
In the dark, yeah, and I'm running through the hallway, so I'm not paying attention. I'm a little out of it. And when I sit down on the toilet, I must have just lost all my... I got up and down and up and down too fast. So she did all my blood work. And this is, you know, this is gonna like this. She does all my blood work. I went to a good hospital. Does all my blood work. And then she said, well, you should take a CAT scan if you want. She goes, you seem perfectly fine. I said, my neck is so sore. And my neck felt like when you used to get into a fist fight, you know, the next day, mm-hmm, when you're like, I feel like a car accident. And I said, well, can I get a CAT scan? She goes, here, we're imaging center is packed for some reason. We can't get you in, but I don't want you to wait. So we're going to send you to Panorama City.
Oh.
I'm like, no.
I know, Pan. Let me tell you.
Bro, no. No, I was like, no. And she was like, you got it. That's the only one that was available.
Let me tell you about Panorama City. This is a very quick one. I remember when I first moved here.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was, God, we're talking about, you know, I got here in the second time in 97. So this is, honest to God, this is 2000, 2001. We're talking, mm-hmm, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Panorama City.
Right.
I didn't even know what the fuck was that. Same. Panoramic view. Sounds nice.
Beautiful.
Someone gave me a Walmart gift card. There are no Walmarts out here in LA.
There's one up there.
But there's one in Panorama City. And let me tell you something. I pulled into that fucking parking lot. Yeah. I was like, I walked through the store. Shit just on the floor. Yep. No one giving a fuck. And I was like, I had never, to this day, I've never seen anything like
chaos.
That. And that was absolute chaos.
That's
and
what I the hospital like, looked like, bro.
Yeah, I was like, if that hospital is anything like that Walmart.
They made me put the CAT scan machine together. I had to put it together before I got in that thing. I was so nervous. I was so freaked out, man. It was tripping. I was like, this is so shady.
So
up
you
here.
Went right from there to Panorama City, mm-hmm, like direct drive?
Mm-hmm. Man, got in the imaging machine, panicking the whole time. And they call you within 2 hours to let you know results. And she said, blood came back perfect. She's like, you take care of your
She's
body.
She's like, you're Juan Gonzalez, right? Like, nah, man, I'm Andrew Santiago.
Is this Alejandro Santiago? It is. Okay. By the way, nobody spoke. There was no English. No English.
Nobody.
I was the only one that spoke English. She was annoyed I didn't speak Spanish when I checked in. Yeah, I was like, they sent me up here, bro. I didn't. Baño? I was out of commission. So then they called me and she said, blood work was great. She's like, you're healthy, you're in shape, all your blood is good. And she's like, you just got to just be careful, something like that, you know? She's like, it's a freak accident, but you're lucky. And the brain was all good too, nothing. But like we said, look, I got some lumps up there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because I've been out five times maybe.
I worry about it. I got knocked out in a fight, but I got jumped, but I was out for hours.
Like, so that's dangerous.
I worry about.
The longer you're out,
yeah,
the worse it is.
Yeah. And literally, it's knocked out,
yeah,
woke up in a hospital. I woke up in a hospital. And that's when you're like, what, you know, what's going on? And I my eyes were closed and the nurse was right here. I never knew what this lady looked like.
Damn.
But all she said was, here's some ginger ale. You have a major concussion. Just sip it. And I just, I gulped. I was so thirsty. I gulped it. And then from the concussion and everything, just puked everywhere. She's like, okay.
That's when you know it's bad, when you throw up. They say if you throw up, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I got knocked out in football a few times. Yeah, I did go to sleep. Yeah. I know.
Me too. But they may have told me not to. But again, I was concussed. I don't remember.
So I did concussion protocol because of this, and she said I did not have a concussion. I mean,
so you could have played next Sunday?
I could have played.
All right.
I could have played that next morning.
Okay, all right.
You know I would have showed up.
I know you would.
Like Santino's here. His eye, he's got a wonky eye. I'm looking the other way. I'm like, let's go.
Come on. He's got a pronounced cut, but he's good. It's pronounced, but it's good.
I was ready to rock. No, but she said it was fine. But I had been concussed before, so I knew it wasn't a concussion.
What's the first time you went out? Was it knocked out, passed out? What happened to you the first time? You said you've been out a few times.
Yeah, probably four or five.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What's the first one?
I fell out of a tree.
So knocked out.
Knocked out. Fell on my head.
For real? How old were you?
12.
Where are you? 11 in Chicago?
Or 12. Yeah. Yeah.
In the park. Neighborhood?
In the park. Okay. Climbing not so high of a tree. Maybe 6 feet, 7 feet off the ground the limb was, but I fell backwards on my head. But I was getting a wiffle ball that got stuck in the tree. Wiffle balls are bound to get stuck in the tree. I get up there, I'm reaching for it, and I slipped.
How many times did you climb this tree or climb trees prior to this, right?
So yeah. That's why I was being careless. Mm-hmm. And even if you did fall, you used to fall out of a tree, you'd land, you'd be fine. You know, maybe
yeah,
land
12.
On your side. Yeah, you're fine. But I landed on the side of my neck, and that I was out. And I was out, I don't
now
really
you've,
remember.
You've touched that spot twice now, so how do you know that?
That it was over here?
Yeah, that's where you touched when you said you hurt your neck. You said, my neck's hurt. That's why they sent you to Panorama City.
This side. They want you. You know what's so funny? I think she did that just because she didn't really like me that much. She's like, the imaging center's full. Nah, we got to get you up to Pan.
Or they were all going out for drinks and shit, and she didn't want them being late to something.
She goes, you know what? I think it's full. I think that, I think we've got to go. I see them at Jalapeno Jack's or whatever. Slamming margaritas.
Like, yeah, I'm sure that's mine.
Yeah, I fell out of a tree when I was 12 and conked myself cold. But
Do you remember the missing a branch? What happened? No,
I remember. I remember the event, but I don't remember the specifics of when it happened. I think I told you last time I was here. I told you about when I got knocked out in basketball. I think I remember. I told you that story.
You just made me remember a time I got knocked out that I forgot about.
Fell on my neck. I got my leg taken out from
your neck again.
Fell on my head
on basketball.
Hard. I got my legs taken out.
Yeah.
So I fell backwards, but I remember that. I remember getting up and I waited for a sub. That's how committed I was, bro. I wait for a sub. I go, sub in. And they were like, sit down. Sit down, bro.
My stepson, this one scared me. He did the same thing in high school a couple years ago. He's in that growth spurt. He, like, every time I see him, he's taller now.
Was he a big boy?
He's skinny as shit, but he's 6'2 or 3 already at 17. Like,
whoa.
He's built like, he's got that Randy Moss build right now. He's got to put like, he's got a swimmer's build. He needs to put some meat on him.
Right.
But he went up when he was just starting to learn his height. You know, he's starting to realize, oh, I might be able to dunk. So he went up, he dunked, and he wasn't used to, you know, you're used to coming down at a certain, you know, speed. He held on and then slipped. And his hands let go because he swung under.
The momentum, yeah.
Boom, right on his head. You're at school. They wouldn't let his ass up. They put him in the fucking crazy stretcher. You know, the thing. It scares the fuck out of you. It's just protocol. But they're wheeling him out. So now we joke about it. But, you know, that shit was scary.
When it happens, it's scary. Yeah, when it happens, it's scary. When I fell on my neck, my mom was panicked. But of all the times I got knocked out, I think I told you that other story too. I think I told you when I got knocked out in junior high football, I got murdered. I think I told that on the show.
I don't remember it. I've been knocked out twice.
See,
I forgot one of them.
Yeah, you got some fatty tissue.
I'm going to tell you, I was first time we went roller skating ever at a rink. There was the main. I don't know how old I'm under 10, but there's the main rink, and then there was a practice rink.
Sure.
And the practice rink was just a smaller version, but it had, for whatever reason, metal, you know, like rails.
Oh, guardrails.
Yeah,
oh,
in the middle that you could grab.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just fucking ate it. And I woke up.
Face?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Crushed. And then I woke up. My dad's taking me to the ER to get, you know, same shit. Concussion and all that. He's like, yeah, you got knocked out. I'm like, from roller skating?
How long were you out? With
probably
skates.
Longer than I thought. I just
rode.
I think exactly what I did. I hit like the tempo area where you just go down. You're just down for a second. You're like, what?
Sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. I had never roller skated, so it wasn't like I was like, get off me. I'm fine. I knew I was not fine.
Help me, help.
I was like, nah.
Help me out.
Some shit just happened. I
got smoked junior high football. I got knocked out helmet to helmet.
Oof.
That was bad. And then I took a nap in college. I got knocked out in college.
In a fight? Or?
Yeah.
Did you really?
And I took a nap.
What? I want to hear all
we
about
got,
this
we
fight.
We got worked.
We?
We got worked. We got worked.
Where were
we
you?
We were in an apartment complex in Arizona, at Arizona State. And a dude was, had, there was a dude that stormed out of this party and got in this car and almost hit one of the people that we were with. And then it was like, got out of his car and was talking to you because somebody smacked on his hood or something. Like, yo, you know, this is a busy complex at night, college. And he gets out of this car and he's yelling and talking shit. And someone from where he just came from heard. And it was like 15 of them and like four of us. And it escalated within seconds.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, college was like, oh, what the? It was, you get older and you're like, you're taking your time. You're like, I don't want to fight. You're like, I don't want to fight either, man.
Man, let me just, yeah. I don't even stretch.
You know, you better, yeah, like, let me, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to come back. Yeah.
I'm going to be the bigger man.
Yeah, no. We just started swinging and it was inevitably like 2-on-1, almost every one of us. My friend Colin got it way worse. I mean, he's a big boy. He's a swinger. He was going after everybody. He didn't care. He was tough, but he got it bad. I mean, he got his face scuffed up because the concrete, he went down to the concrete. Not the same for me. I'm with my friend Travis and we're running around and I see one and I don't see another one and I got zooped on the back of, I got hit in the back of the head. That'll knock you cold out anytime. Yeah. Not the front. The front, you can take a couple, but I got hit in the back of the head and here, I woke and up on rocks.
If you watch the NFL, anytime they hit the dude right here on that side temple area,
good night.
You just see him. You see him just
Well,
drop.
You see the body go limp. Yeah, I woke up on the rocks.
Rocks?
Yeah, Arizona, bro. There's no yard out there. It's a bad place to fight.
So was the fight over when you woke up or was it still happening?
For me, it was. Dude, I woke up. I was gone. Bye.
I'm out of here.
I started walking. I started walking the other way. Yeah. Innocent. I'm walking. We got bad. And the next morning we had gone back to the dorms and we probably had gotten high or drank our way through the night and we're bummed. I mean, everyone was really upset.
Yeah, that's a tough L.
Well, we got whopped. Yeah, we got whopped bad.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And the next morning we were out eating breakfast or whatever, looking around at everybody. I mean, it was so sad, man. I mean, like just loose skin, busted lip, you know, like dried blood on the neck, you know.
Over easy eggs are running down your face.
Meanwhile, those guys are out there having burritos. Just like, we fought those guys.
Oh,
up.
Man, I'm hungry.
They smoked us.
We fought so hard. I'm hungry. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Omax CryoFreeze. Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect your whole life. Many of you have probably had some type of pain that's prevented you from relaxing and sleeping or stopped you from exercising. Perhaps it's been ongoing for a few weeks now and it hasn't improved with any of the treatments you've tried. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple-action pain relief roll-on is specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. And the best part is this 100% natural CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, which is much longer than the over-the-counter products. I've been telling you guys since December, I've had this pull in my neck. I've been pumping that stuff on it. If you've watched, my elbow has been getting numb and stuff, and that Omax, boom, it's gone. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off a full body cryo-free CBD pain relief roll-on plus free shipping. Now, this discount also applies towards any product site-wide. So just go to omaxhealth.com today and enter code HONEYDEW. That's O-M-A-X health.com and enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off cryo-freeze and site-wide. Our next sponsor is Upstart. Now, during these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure, and I don't blame you. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high-interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high-interest credit card debt. Now, unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smarter rate. So you don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate, and since it's just a soft pull, it will not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. And the best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Now, over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. And I know quite a few of you have, man. You guys hit me up and say it's the easiest thing you've ever done. It's the best thing you've ever done. And I appreciate you supporting the show. And I'm telling you, if there are people out there that did it, you should hit them up and let people know about it. And free yourself from the burden of these high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the dew.
Yeah, I'm a little some. No, that was probably my fourth or fifth time that I had been put to bed. Sports mostly were the things that put me to bed. Almost always I got hurt in sports doing something stupid. I knocked a guy out in this. Oh my God. I knocked a guy out for so long. I actually got emotional about it because I didn't know if I really hurt him.
Yeah.
This pothead that used to come around freshman year who wasn't even in our school, you know, he was like dropping off weed. And you're like, hey man, what classes are you in? He's like, I'm 38. You know, like he wouldn't, it's like, I'm like, oh shit, I thought you were in school. He was like, he said, I saw you guys hooping the other day at the gym. I should outside. He's like, I should have said what's up. I wanted to play. He goes, he's like, you can jump. Can you play? Have you ever played ultimate frisbee? And I said, nah, that's not really for my shit. You know. He's like, come try one night. So of course, one night I was bored and I was like, I'll go over there. It's Monday or whatever it was. I go over there.
Is that the shit I see on SportsCenter stuff where those dudes are crazy diving? Bro, like yes. on a football field,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. And we used to practice on ASU's men's practice field. They used to let them play out there. So we would go out there and it was bright lights. It was great. In the middle of the night, they'd leave those lights on till like midnight. Because it was for rec. It was by the rec center, which is not there anymore. But I'm learning the game, and as I'm learning, I'm loving this shit because I was a little bit more athletic than most of these dudes.
What are the rules? Is it like any other sport out there that you?
Well, once you catch it, you can only take like one, two steps. Well, you can take two steps on the catch and you can't move. Then you have to stay in your spot and pass it, right? But you throw it, and as you catch it, you can take two steps as you land, and then you have to throw it again, you know?
So is it like basketball, but without advancing with a dribble? You get it, you're allowed two steps, and then
it's kind of like, but football in mindset, right? Because you have to get into an end zone, right? Yeah. So I'm learning it and I'm loving it. And then I'm learning I can jump pretty fucking high. I've always been able to jump and I've always been able to like kind of leap out of my shoes. Well, there's a dude, he's much shorter than me. And there's a Frisbee going way towards the end zone. And I'm like, oh, I'm picking this off for sure. Like there's no doubt. I jump at the same time he jumps, and as I'm grabbing it, my elbow hits him cold in the face. I mean, I don't know if I hit him in the eye, I don't know where, but I went like this to grab it out of the air, and poof, like that. Dude, I knocked him out in midair. I mean, I almost heard him snore. He was in the air as he went down, and he smoked his head. Yeah, he was out.
It's that.
The bounce.
Yeah, that bounce it's and grass. That snap
it's
and
grass,
that bounce.
Right?
Yeah.
So he bounced. And everyone was screaming at me. And I'm just thinking, why? Hey, man, I just went for the thing. Because they said I was being reckless. They were playing a little bit softer.
Hey, it's ultimate Frisbee, man. It ain't just some regular Frisbee.
Yeah, this ain't regular B, bro. Ulti B.
All right, puss. I didn't sign up for this shit.
Some bitch ass shit. Yeah. So, of course, I felt bad. But then, dude, he was out, I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I mean, it was bad.
That's a long time.
We were standing there the whole time. And I started to have a little bit of a panic because I was like, holy shit.
Is he breathing though at the
time? Yeah, he was breathing. But he kept like, he was mumbling. It was bad, dude.
Scary.
You see pieces of his brain trying to put it back together. Like, you know,
there's definitely some brain damage.
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
And of course, then they call an ambulance. Like an ambulance come. And I felt so guilty, dude. I felt so guilty. I was like, I fucked this guy up.
All right, next man up. Let's go.
Sup?
This is why we keep 15 on the roster,
yo. Get a sup. Get him out. Get him out. Get him in. Let's go.
Did he wave somebody in for him? Fuck no.
No, he wasn't an athlete. Get up. I felt so bad for knocking this little dude out. I smoked him with my elbow.
Frisbee.
And look at these things. I mean, this is, yeah, might as well be a pickaxe. I mean, I got bony elbows. Nailed him in the face. That was bad. That I regret.
I regret.
I feel bad. I shouldn't have gone. Well, because you know when you know in sports when you're going up against somebody that you're going to, you know you've got the advantage. Mm-hmm. I knew I could have played it a little bit safer. I probably was trying to show off because I didn't need to jump as early as I jumped.
I didn't need to backflip. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be honest. I didn't.
After I knock him out, I'm breakdancing on top of him. Hey, hey, hey.
I didn't need to do the worm next to him while he was down.
That's it. In sports, though, you know when you have the upper hand, you got it. It's like you just, you want to show up a little bit when you're like, oh, I know I can beat this guy. Whatever that is.
I'm 100% with you. If it was a man on the field, it didn't matter to me. I was always like, you'd play in a co-ed softball league, you'd see that one dickhead dude. That, like, we had a guy in a co-ed softball league one time. He was pitching, and this girl's rounding third. It's a co-ed softball league.
Let it go, bro.
Bro did not let it go, and he fucking charged home with that ball, and he held it in the mitt so that he could lower his shoulder and not drop, and he fucking broke that girl's collarbone.
Sure.
And, man, we piled on that motherfucker, but he was one of those, like, it's sports. I'm like, it's co-ed softball. Like, if this was a bunch of dudes and you did that, first of all, you wouldn't have done that if that was a dude.
No. Yeah, no.
You wouldn't have done that.
That's what's so funny, though. I played in a men's league. Anybody who plays softball, I don't know what it is about softball, but men's softball, they're all stretching for something. They want the old days back. So it got so competitive. We ended up quitting. Our team, we won. I think we won the championship.
Quit the league?
Yeah, we quit.
I think we won the championship.
Well, because we got, it was so tumultuous by the end of it. We didn't want to do it anymore. We got in arguments, fights. People would leave. I mean, it was endlessly fighting. They didn't like it. We were good. We had a bunch of young, good guys, but we would bring wooden bats. And they all hit aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, you can't use wood. And I was like, wood's going to go less.
That's right. Yeah. It's to your advantage.
They
for
didn't
me.
Like us using wood, but I loved hitting a wood bat.
Yeah.
So we all brought wood and they complained endlessly. I was like, this goes less for, the aluminum goes way further when you, and it was 16 inch, no glove. So the ball, you know, you,
oh yeah,
they're huge. Mm-hmm. You hitting that far with a wooden bat is tough, but we liked wood just because I like the feel of wood. I feel like you could have more control with wood. Well, they hated us for that. And so that every time we would get into some kind of fight or argument, and there was only an ump, a one rotating ump, because it was a cheap league. So you had to make your own calls half of the time.
Oh, God. This just sounds like fist fights at every base.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It was happening. He's out. He's in. He's out. We would fight all the time. I had to quit. I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, this was too much. But it was 16-inch no-glove Chicago softball. That's what they play back home. No gloves. You know, jamming fingers all day. And it's nothing but arguments over, you know, who's out and who's in, and the pitches was always a debate over whether that was a strike.
Right.
I had to quit. I got so over it. I was like, there's no men's sport I want to play anymore in an organized league. I'll play pickup basketball. I'm not playing an organized game ever again.
No.
I'm done. I got no need. Also, you want to get hurt? You want to get hurt and be that guy?
Because it's not necessarily that there's anything wrong. It's that asshole out there that wants to hit you with the blind side or do some bullshit to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you end up, you know.
What's up, bro? We're just playing, bro.
You were playing. You were there. I didn't see you there. I didn't know. My bad.
That asshole.
That's your ankle. Yeah. I got over the idea of feeling good. I think I told you, but I was in Charlotte. And I wanted to go play YMCA. I wanted to go play pickup basketball just for some exercise. I actually went to go shoot by myself.
You're on the road and just wanted to get out?
Yeah, I just wanted to go shoot because I usually run. I run every day. And it was so hot. I was like, damn, I got to go. I'm going to go in the gym and I'm going to go shoot and just kind of run around the track. There's a game going on. And all these kids are, you know, young, 15, 16, 17-year-old athletic black kids. I mean, just unfucking real. Jumping out of the gym and shit. And one dude sees me and he's like, "Hey, yo, you want a hoop?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm good, man. I have tennis shoes on. I didn't even have." He goes, "Oh, come on, man, we need one." And I was like, "All right,
you ain't wearing those bike shorts for nothing, bud."
I go, "Well, these got underwear inside of them, so I should be good."
Yeah, these have a mesh lining. Yeah, I think I can.
I should be all right. I get over there. I'm feeling
that's
it.
Gonna keep you
I'm
on.
Feeling it. I'm feeling
right
it.
Away.
I'm
too,
feeling it.
Right
I'm having
away.
A good time.
Just in the huddle and shit.
Just I'm feeling good. They're letting me in their circle. I'm dishing a little bit. You know, I drop a couple of shots. I was like, oh shit, all right. I'm feeling okay. Well, we come around the next break. Sure enough, this is some young 15-year-old fucking just athlete takes off from like the third hash mark. This LeBron James is right on my fucking face. I mean, I'm not even defending
him.
This
is nuts right on your head.
I'm not even defending him. I turn to just get up in the air a little bit, and it's just like his dick and my arm just fuse to my face. I mean,
that was a charge, guys. I'm calling a charge on that.
But the gym went nuts. You know, you dunk on that old ass redhead. Oh shit! You dunk on Opie Taylor. Look, he got howdy doody. Got his ass dunked on. I got shit on for like 25 minutes. Yeah, and it,
that's so
trying
great.
To regain some fucking. I'm sitting on the side. I'm like, good game, man. Good game, and nobody. Not one kid wanted to say good game to me. Nobody. They were like, oh, yeah, man, you can go home. Go back to the hotel. I don't need to play that shit. I was like, I'm done. I'm
hey,
out.
Fuck your show tonight, too, man.
This unfunny motherfucker trying to give us free tickets.
Dunked on the old ass.
They got me bad. Yeah. I was the joke of the night.
Yeah, they were all waiting.
But I'm glad I could give that to him. I was like, okay.
That's for your IGs, everybody. That's for your IG story.
I'm sure I made a story.
You definitely are on somebody.
Because he was dribbling up court, turned to his friend. He was like, film this.
Watch this. Turn it on. Right. I'm a hot sauce right here real quick.
Yeah. That was the end of my public pickup game
career.
That's
it, right? It's done, yeah. I'll play some horse.
Yeah, some driveway horse. Right, yeah, I'm not even going to the gym. I'm doing driveway horse.
That's it. I'm about off the fucking garage roof.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of roofs, I want to jump to that because you had to fix your. What's something happened with fixing your roof?
Yeah, bro. I'm up there. I had to fix my roof.
Why?
Because we had a leak. We got the house, and of course, as you know, everybody jokes. You know, it's like, oh, it's a never end. It's a money pit. Yeah. The first rainstorm we had in our living room, just the ceiling
bad?
Fucking came through. Yeah. Real bad. Didn't damage anything in the house, but it ruined everything. Right, ruined that up. So we thought we got a side patch job done. This guy, you know, did tarps up there. So you get to let it dry out. Then we'll look at it. Well, the rain kept coming. The rain rains here for like 3 weeks and then never again.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's just like window gone. So when it's all said and done, we're trying to get the roof fixed. And of course, this dude is up there fixing the roof. And I'm thinking, okay, all should be good now. We're all good. He said, well, give me the hose. I got to put the hose up here to show it's a no leak on the unit. You know? he's Japanese.
Yeah, and, I can tell. Yeah.
He said, give me the hose. I throw the hose. I throw up the hose. And he goes, okay, it should be good. Go inside and look. He's got the hose turned on high. I mean, it's as if it's coming into the house. I'm like, bro!
No way.
Yes, dude. Yes. He thought... So the problem was the air conditioning unit guys didn't communicate with the roofing guys. They needed to fix the shell at the exact same time. Because here in LA, some people wherever you're watching this might not know, we put a lot of them, old houses put HVACs on the roof. You don't do that
swamp
where I'm from.
Swamp coolers, yeah.
Yeah, you don't do that right, shit where I'm from. It's on the floor.
Yep.
It's outside of the house.
Outside, the big fan unit on next to the house.
This is on our roofs. Yes. A lot of these old houses have them on the HVACs on the roof. And our old ass roof supporting a 10-ton unit. You know, and so pieces had collapsed around. Well, what they fixed didn't fix the shell of the unit. So it had just cracked more because they were up there fucking with it. I mean, they put a crane up there, lifted it up. They must not have put the pressure right. So I fixed a hole in my fucking ceiling in my living room 3 times now. I mean, I feel like I'm in a
What did the dude do when he did?
Movie.
Did he
Nothing.
Come back? He didn't come back and fix
no,
it?
No. He goes, oh, mom, you got to talk to the guy. Them do the air conditioning
and
unit.
And he just drove.
Didn't give a fuck, yeah. I don't know, man. It's got to be the unit. We fix our part, you know? Okay. I'm playing this juggling game of whose fault it is, you know? He says it's you guys. No, I mean, we fixed our thing, you know? He couldn't. His lack of concern was almost beautiful. When I showed him, I told him.
That's an art, isn't it?
No, couldn't. He came down. He came down and I showed him the damage from inside. He's like, yeah, you know? It's going to dry. It's okay. It's going to dry. I'm like, but I have to live through all this shit. He's like, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? You got to call the AC guy. You know, he going to fix it. So they passed the buck. And so now I have another hole in my roof now. Dry, because no rain. But I have to live with that every day.
Until when?
whenever I can get a guy to come out and fucking get up in the attic.
During the corona.
Yeah, during corona. You want to come out during rona and get in my fucking attic, get asbestos, and get corona?
And the virus.
It's impossible, man. I'm fucked. So I'm going to live with a hole in the middle of my fucking ceiling. But the beauty of it is, I've come at peace with my house stuff. I swear to God, I've finally been like, okay, I can't help it. I was arguing about stuff with the old lady all the time about like, well, we got to, and this is fucked up and this is fucked. And now I'm like, it's okay. I get why parents at some point, they just like relinquish this anger that they're like, it is what it is. I'm not going to fix all that shit. You can't fix all the things.
No. And so you're going to have kids. I'm at peace. You can't, listen. I'm going to tell you what my friend that had a kid young told me. You can't have nice shit.
It's over.
Kids. Don't bother going and buying a $5,000 couch because your kids are going to piss on it, shit on it, color on it, crawl on it, walk on it, cut it.
Right. Yeah. Just get the $200 one.
Just get the fucking cheapest, comfortable thing.
I know now that I don't really like fancy shit anyway, but it just like, I stopped caring as much about particulars about being like, because I'm a really nitpicky OCD guy.
Me too, dude. But the anxiety of like, oh, I got to get this done in this room, in this room.
Not at the house anymore. I've learned to go, good. Oh, this is out of control. I can't control all this. That's crazy to think I'm going to be able to like fix this, fix that. Even I can fix stuff with my own hands, but at some point you're like, I don't even want to waste the time and the money getting a guy because it's manageable without it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not like the electrical's broken or it's just, there's a small shit that I can't help at some
point. Cosmetic something.
It's bullshit, yeah. Even if it's like certain functionality, you know what I mean? Like one of the doors doesn't lock all the way. It's like, we figured it out. You know, like,
yeah.
Got another secondary lock in there. I was like, oh yeah, the jam doesn't fit because this chain is, I'm like, all right, man, well then put a fucking board underneath that or something. I don't know, like fix it. Just temporary fixes. You learn why people do that with houses, that they just temp fix stuff because it's a pain in the ass, dude. At some point, I've let it go. So in my heart, the hole is staring me down when I'm watching TV at night, but I'm like, it's okay. I just got to let that shit go. So I've learned to like, let it go. Put into perspective, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that big of a deal.
No, especially with everything going on right now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not that big. It used to drive me bananas. This thing before the pandemic was like, you know, I'd be on the road and be like, did you get the roof guy to come?
Yeah.
Well, why isn't he there? I'd be losing it. No need. I was like, let it go. Why am I yelling at her for no, you know? I let it go. I've learned to let it go.
Tell me about Tampa. What's this Tampa story?
That's why I don't know how many stories I've shared with you about, because we did so much talking about sports and injuries. That's why I thought maybe it was the same one. I have a scar on my leg that's about 2 inches long from Tampa. And if this is a repeat from the first time we did this, then that's okay.
I don't remember it.
I don't remember it either. But you tell so many stories and so many podcasts. But with you, it's sports or injury related for some reason. We did, you know,
trauma, bro.
Well, I came out of the Tampa Improv, and
This wasn't even a sports thing.
No. Well, to me, life is a sport, my friend. So I never give up.
Fair enough.
I come out of the Tampa Improv, and there's a fight that breaks out. And long elongated story short, I grab a woman who's falling, pretty much into me. And I grab her and—
What's the, after your show? Like,
a bouncer is in an argument with a guy who's leaving. I'm outside saying hi to people. Yes. And a guy is in an argument with the bouncer because I'm sure he's too fucked up. And my guess is he's trying to take a drink out of the room, which we've seen before.
Yeah.
Hey man, put it, you know, and they're trying
Can't
to sneak
take that hurricane glass out, bro.
Come on, man, I paid
for
it.
Come on, man, it's $14 drink.
$14.85, I fucking paid, bitch. I'll take— They say bitch. They call him bitch once, and the security guard is like, "What's up, dude?" You know, they're waiting to fight. They want to fight. These bouncers want
to
fight.
Yeah, they're paid to fight.
They're paid to fight.
They're just sitting there most times, not able to.
Yeah. And that's why they're always crossing their arms. Right. They're pissed. Like, so mad. Like, I want to just
fucking hit somebody. Goddamn.
They're shuffling him out, and they're fighting. They're scrapping with him, and they call security, and the people are getting pushed out of one door. You could exit out of that side door because the second show was coming to the front. Well, I'm on the patio, and it's pitch black. I can't see a goddamn thing, and a woman is being like pushed into me. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I grab this lady. And as I'm stumbling, I stumble like, you know, to not cause myself to fall. And I smack my leg on something I can't see. And it hurts like a motherfucker. But I kind of just let it go. It was an umbrella stand without an umbrella. Those metal, like a commercial umbrella stand. Yeah. You know, it's only a foot and a half off the ground. I can't see that. It's pitch dark. Well, the night's going on. And I think nothing of it, but it's throbbing. I'm painful. And about an hour goes by and I feel that my sock is wet because there's no cut in my jeans. I lift up my jeans. Well, it had cut my skin. Yeah, it punctured my skin. I was bleeding into my fucking socks. And I don't know if you know about Tampa, but you know, Tampa's hospital.
Panorama City,
yeah,
all
Panorama
over.
Panorama City 2.0. Yeah. Bro, I go in there. I'm profusely bleeding. And the woman is like, nah, I can't do nothing about it.
And nothing.
She goes, it's on the shin. They didn't give a fuck. She goes, wrap it. Just wrap it up. I can't butterfly it. It's right on the shin. It's literally right on my shin. The scar's like this big. And I go back to the hotel and I've wrapped it up so tight. And in the middle of the night, I'm shuffling around. I must have moved around so much. The wrap came undone. I soaked a hotel bed in blood.
For real?
Dude, so much more blood than I've ever seen in my entire
life. Holy
shit. It was like, there was a fucking murder scene. I'm sure, and I was checking out that day, so I'm sure the woman was like, oh boy, you know, she comes in, you want to turn down? I'm like, yeah, you got to fucking, I bled out of the mattress so much, it had gone through to the mattress. I bled so much through the sheets, and I had this, then I went and got it checked out when I got here, same thing, they couldn't stitch it, and because it kept opening up, it's on my fucking shin, it would be like something small,
skin
would,
splits.
Oh my God, there's nothing to it. And finally, a week or two later, it finally started to really like heal up itself. But I have a permanent scar now because of Tampa. And then when I look at it, that's Tampa in my mind was that for the rest of my life was like, that would happen in fucking Tampa. I don't hate Tampa.
West side of
it's
Florida.
Just that would happen in Tampa. Some dumb shit. You know, I remember, I don't have a bad taste about Tampa, but it was such a weird world. That city, Ybor, is so strange. It's like, you can still smoke inside at bars, which blew
really?
My fucking mind. Yeah, and this was how many years ago? 4 or 5? I mean, they could still smoke. Chickens are in the street. Roosters are all in the fucking streets. Scientology's, what's it called? Is there.
Headquarters?
Yeah, but what's the one? The Sea Org. That's where it is.
Oh, really?
That's
I didn't
where
know
it is.
That.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
okay.
Right around the corner. And it's Cigar Avenue because of all the Cubans that used to be there in Ybor. It's this beautiful mix of complete chaos and misunderstanding of what it is. And this injury sums up Tampa to me. A fucking shin split on an umbrella stand in this confusing land. You know what I mean? That's what Tampa, that was my last cut up. I think that's my last like major injury from something stupid.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Raycon. I've been using my Raycons all the time now, especially during quarantine. I've been listening to Tommy Lee's singles. I've been listening to Your Mom's House podcast. I've been listening to a lot of stuff right now. And the best way to listen is using a pair of premium wireless earbuds, especially if you can get them at less than half the price of the other guys. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. I use them to travel. I use them to exercise. I love them. I actually got a second pair and my stepson took them. He took them. He won't even give them back. Like I hit him up and go, how they working? And he's like, they're great. You're never going to see them again. So Raycon's newest model, the one he took from me, is the Everyday E25 earbuds, and they're the best ones yet. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a compact design, and a noise-isolating fit. Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet. There's no dangling wires or stems. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Brandy, Mike Tyson. And they are obsessed with the products. Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they're the pair of wireless earbuds for you. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/honeydew. That's buyracon.com/honeydew for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Make sure to check it out now while the deal's running. By raycom.com/honeydew. Let's tell you about our next sponsor, Talkspace. Now, change is always a constant, and these days it feels like there's something new to grapple with every day. We may be adjusting to this new normal, but it's still stressful, and it's important to talk about it and seek support. Talkspace Online Therapy is here to give you that support because we all need it right now. Match with a licensed therapist from the comfort of your own device and reach out 24/7 whenever something's on your mind. You'll hear back daily, 5 days a week. It's affordable. It's a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, but with Talkspace, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist and they'll engage with you at least 5 days a week. And that means you never have to wait to share what's on your mind. It's secure. It's private. They're using the latest encryption technology to store client information. Look, the bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to, and Talkspace wants to give the licensed support we deserve at a price we can afford. As a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. And you want to make sure to use the code HONEYDEW to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's HONEYDEW and Talkspace.com. Now let's get back to the do. I want to ask you this because you obviously were angry growing up. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it.
Still.
What was the first fight that you ever really got into? Who was it? What do you remember?
Well, I fought when I was a kid a bunch. I would just fight people that would make fun of me. But no, I mean when I was
Do you remember like one that...
I remember junior high fight. The youngest fight was probably like... I mean, I don't know. I would punch kids that said I was... That made fun of the redheaded thing. That I would just fight kids
you
for.
Punch.
When I was in kindergarten or first grade, my mom remembers... A kid was teasing me and pushed me, and I took a toy, like a fucking train, like a wooden train, and I smoked him in the face with it, and I cut his face open.
He's got a pronounced cut right here from the toy train, man.
I took his ass to Panorama City. I put him in the CTE machine. He was fine. But I was always ready,
even
when I knew I was way skinny. I was so skinny when I was a kid. I was lanky, and I love just defending myself because I thought, well, they're not going to make fun of me because I'm definitely going to fight back. And so it ended that streak of people. Then I learned to make fun of them back, and I was always clever or funnier than them or quicker than them. So people ended up, that stopped at some point, teasing me because I would just shit on them. And I realized that was better than fighting them. Because fighting him never got, I mean, that never
I mean, won. Yeah, we had an older kid across the way, but I'm so glad I got my ass. Like, it teaches you so much about life. Like, there's this person who doesn't know you and is ready to take you the fuck out. Like, it does something to you when you see someone charging. You're like, there's a million thoughts going through your head. Like, oh, fuck.
It changes changes the dynamic of humanity, to you. You think about humans differently.
Yes, you do.
You start to, like, scale yourself a little
and
bit.
And then get older and you're like, wonder what the fuck was going on in that kid's house that he beat me up every motherfucking day.
Yeah, well,
but
you
I
know.
Remember, like, I lost, but I always fought. You know, when I was younger, I always fought. But also, it got to the point where some people were like, well, I know he's going to fight. You know, bullies don't want to fight.
Never.
And I know he's going to fight back. And even if I'm older and stronger, this motherfucker is going to, it's going to be 30 minutes. You know what I mean? It's going to take me a lot. I'm just not going to fuck with it.
Yeah.
I want the easy pushover kid. That's what bullies want. They want to be, bullies.
Well, I don't think bullies ever want to fight. No. It's funny. The kids that were the best at fighting were
the ones that sat there and took it for so long and then just
had to go for it. Yeah.
I've seen some of those videos on YouTube where there's this kid getting bullied. He finally loses it. He just picks this kid up like by the throat with one arm. You know what I mean? And that kid goes down like just lifeless. And he just walks away. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That kid right there.
It's someone that's got something harbored inside of them that they don't want to fight. Actually, the more people that are like, I don't want to fight, they're probably pretty good at fighting.
Yeah.
Because they just said like, I don't need this, but then their defense mechanism kicks in. I think people who like pick fights, there was always guys that like picked fights. I think they just love the attention and they wanted the negativity and the chaos because that's obviously a reflection of whatever else is going on in life, right? Like you said, what's going on at home? Something bad.
Yeah.
If we all knew, we were friends with kids that had shitty things at home and they always were so fucked up, so troubled, so dangerous, so like they're reckless, you know, like they just didn't give a fuck anymore. Because this can't be worse than my dad smacking my mom around.
Or me around. Yeah. That's right.
That's usually how that goes. When you see that, you're like, man, this poor motherfucker. He'll never make it out alive.
Yeah, we had a friend that would just, he was that guy in college that would just, you know, if you were sleeping on the couch at the beach, he'd just burn your feet with a cigarette. You know what I mean? Like, literally, you're asleep, just put it right on your feet. And it was fucked up. It would make me laugh because it's not me. But they would be screaming at him. But they would know, like, what am I going to do to this kid that's not happening at home? You know what I mean?
He's already damaged. Yeah. This dude's already broken. He's
burning you with cigarettes.
But that's really funny, by the way. Cigarette on the feet is hilarious. Don't fall asleep around me, babe.
That's what he would do. You'd be laying on a couch with your bare feet up at the beach, and he'd just be sitting there playing a video game with a cigarette. He'd be, they'd be like, what the fuck, man?
Did you ever know people that did that shit? They put a cigarette out on them to prove like how tough they were?
On their tongue. I've seen the tongue thing. Like, stupid. How dumb is
that? I saw kids do that all the time. I just knew guys that would do it on their hand because they thought that was fucking hardcore.
There's something I saw at a party one time that I just... it bothers me to this day. It's probably a reason it didn't happen, but it bothers me to this day that it didn't happen. And then I wasn't the one given the opportunity, but there was this fucking dick just running his mouth to everyone, talking shit to the women, you know, just being a real fucking piece of shit to everybody. And one guy said something to him and he was like, oh, is that right? And he gets on his knees and he puts his hands behind his back and he's like, I'll give you the first motherfucking shot. And I was like, like, oh, you, oh.
Gets this. On his knees.
And it intimidated that guy that he didn't do anything. He's like, that's what I thought, you fucking pussy. And he stood up and I just thought, God, I would have punted your, I would have punted your fucking head. I would have punted that motherfucker across the goddamn room. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I'm like, you're going to, and he put his chin up, put his hands by his back, closed his eyes and got on his knees. And I was like, oh, please, can I, time out.
Back up.
Let me get
up. Back up. Get a running start.
You got to.
Sup?
I would have punted that motherfucker. He would have been, probably would have killed him.
He called that dude's bluff, huh?
He did.
Hard. Jesus Christ.
Embarrassing front. Now, I've never forgotten that. And I've also simultaneously been mad at that guy for not doing it because I really wanted to see that guy shut the fuck up. But also like, man, how come that one didn't swing my way?
Yeah, I know, because you would have done it. That's why.
I would have kicked. You're right. I would have kicked him right up under that motherfucking chin, busted all his teeth out and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I I've got a lot of chipped teeth from sports and fights and stuff. This is my newest chip.
What happened at that?
This is New Orleans.
It's New Orleans.
I went to a bachelor party in January. Yeah. Probably the last one I'll ever go to. I went to a bachelor party in January with a good friend. We had such a great time. We're doing mushrooms. We're drinking, we're smoking, we're having a great time. We went to a Pelicans game. We had so much fun. We're taking boats on the bayou. I mean, it's like one of the best weekends I've had in a long time. Then we're having a crawfish boil, and I'm fucking ripped. I'm lit up. I'm on everything. I'm fucking lit up.
I'm on everything.
I'm on everything. We're pouring the crawfish on the table, potatoes, sausage. You know, I'm watching. It wasn't the Super Bowl yet. No, it was. It was Super Bowl. Yeah, it was the Super Bowl because we went inside. Then the afternoon, we watched from the inside. So I'm outside. We're on this patio, and I'm watching TV. And as I'm de-shelling, and I'm eating, and I'm not really watching. I'm just doing it. It's like second nature, you know. Well, I hadn't taken a shell off all the way, and I had put it in my mouth, and I bit down on a shell, and it chipped my fucking front tooth.
How the fuck did a shell do that?
I don't know.
Did you feel it come out right away?
Oh yeah, right away. I was like. And my buddy's like, well, I was like, chip my fucking tooth. I was also lit up. So, but I must have bit down hard on it and I cracked right through it, right in my front fucking tooth. And I did that thing. I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh no, dude.
I did the same thing.
I was like, when am I going to get this fucking fixed? I called my old lady drunk. I'm like, chip my tooth on a crawfish shell. She's like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
But no shit. We went to get shrimp po' boys the next day. I said this on stage. The next day we go to get shrimp po' boys and. If you ever chip a tooth, you play with it a little bit because you can't stop feeling it.
All you can do.
And I'm in line, I'm doing this, you know, I'm like, it's driving me nuts. And the guy behind the counter, I get up and he's ready to take my order. And he goes, what's up with your mouth? Because he sees me, I'm doing it kind of like erratically. Like he probably think I'm a fucking crackhead, you know, like.
I love that he's asking you.
He goes, what's up with your mouth?
That's New Orleans. Yeah, that's right.
Literally. Yeah. I said, I chipped my tooth. He goes, for real? I said, I chipped my tooth. I was fucked up, you know, drinking and smoking weed and eating crawfish. I chipped in on a crawfish shell. He goes, oh, yeah, that's New Orleans. Just like that, real, real casual. Yeah, that's New Orleans. Like it was no, like, I heard that. I feel that. It gave me some solace. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because in his mind, he was like, yeah, that's some dumb shit that does happen when you're fucked up in New Orleans, chewing on crawfish. For some reason too, I remember the moment it was happening. I feel like I knew it was going to happen. Do you know what I mean? When I was like, oh my God, I could have stopped it if I just looked down and I was just putting shit in my mouth, not paying attention. And I just bit down too hard, got caught in my front tooth and then fell right off. I called my dentist. He was like, ooh, that's going to be tough to bond. It's right on the cut too.
So that's exactly what happened to me. But like a bigger moron, I had a fucking keychain and it had come just a little bit apart. So I put it in my mouth and like I had a bunch before and perfectly balanced it and to gently bite it down and it slipped and it carved out the front just like that. But here was what was funny. if you looked at it straight on, you couldn't see it. Sure. If I tilted my head just a you could see a fucking cut like a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like yeah. if I level headed you the whole, yeah, you'd never
as
see
soon
it.
As you get a down but photo. Just a,
I couldn't even give you a what's up nothing. I just had to stay still.
Oh, you smile, but you what's up?
Oh,
like this.
It was a cut that hit, so it dug into the front and cut under. You know what I mean? Like yeah. carved out a piece. So same thing. I go to the dentist. He's like, "This is gonna be tough." He bonded this motherfucker. It's still there. This is why, even when I wipe my teeth, this one gets a little, it's still a touch yellower.
Yeah, but it's a real tooth though, right?
It's still my real tooth.
Okay, good.
But he put a bigger, because of where it is, he had to cover more of the tooth with it. So that really all I have is a cut like that in there. But it just looked so fucking, all I could think was hillbilly.
Yeah.
It looked so fucking hillbilly. Yeah. And I couldn't stand looking, I would just go. I'm like, God, what the fuck? You biting keys. Like, yeah. You have good teeth, you dumb motherfucker.
Now, at this point, I don't give a fuck. I think I'm going to leave it.
Honestly.
It's so small.
I wouldn't even notice it if you didn't say something.
But now you do.
Yeah, I see it.
I think I'm at a point in my life when I'm leaving it.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yep, it's the sunscreen on the nose. I'm not rubbing that shit in.
It's zinc for my white ass. I used to be embarrassed about that. Yeah. Rub it in. Now I'm like, leave it on. Fuck it.
Leave it on, God.
I
got to
get protection.
It.
But yeah, no, this was a reminder that as I get older, I'm caring less and less about, I would have panicked about that 10 years ago. And that would have been on my mind. I had to get to a dentist. Now I don't think I give a fuck.
I'll say that of the silver lining of this virus and it shoving us all into our homes and literally turning a mirror on society and showing us what fucking pieces of shit we are on planet Earth and outer space, from the racism, the riots, the murders, the politics, the religion, everything. Yeah. We are just not doing a great job as human beings on this planet. It has really been like, wow, we're this bad. Like collectively, when you look at it, you're like, God damn, y'all, we got to do a better job here.
Yeah, I think we don't. I think we just don't. I think we've proven that that a lot of people don't care about anybody but themselves, which, by the way, your prerogative. It's a sad existence, but it's a bummer. It's a bummer that a lot of people are like,
a lot.
It's about me, man. It's like, all right. You know, I'm not saying give up your whole life for strangers. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like small sacrifices and small thoughts about other people. To me, this seems like this would be a no-brainer. Like, oh, come on, man. We can knock something like this out.
But that's why I'm excited to do these scholarships we're going to do here at the Music Center and stuff with these kids.
Really good,
I want to help
man.
Kids out. You know, I want to help
people. Know.
Look, man, we were talking about this before. All I've wanted to do since I was a kid, I've never said this. I've never told this to anyone. I'm about to say it on this show. Like, all I've ever wanted to do was be a comedian. Mm-hmm. I had Eddie Murphy's headshot in my locker in the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. People had fucking Chachi and shit. When you opened my locker up, it was Eddie Murphy in a black leather jacket or the Adidas with the, you know, smiling, that Eddie Murphy smile in my locker. I've wanted to be a comedian forever, be involved in comedy, do comedy.
Same.
And just like you and everyone else in here, we have thrown our lives into this art form that might... might be gone.
Might be
you know
gone.
What I mean? It might be gone.
This might be it.
So at this point, be nice to people
yeah.
and do whatever the fuck you want, because it doesn't matter in the end. It mm-hmm. We talked about all these jobs, like these athletes, these photographers, anything in the arts that involves people. DJ, you think of it. Whatever involves a crowd is in jeopardy at this point. It's in limbo.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of shift to different things, and you're either going to thrive or you're going to fucking fall. But in the meantime, you want that fucking tattoo on your face? Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get two of them.
Get it. Get it. Fuck that job interview you think you want and need so bad. Get the tattoo on your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you want. As long as you're not hurting anyone, then do whatever the fuck you want, because life doesn't give a... It ain't 2020 that doesn't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah.
It is life that doesn't give a fuck about what you want to do.
Yeah, it's true. Well, there's no, like, you know, this put a pause on what we love doing the most is stand up. I mean, I love doing podcasts so fucking much, but I missed the thing that fueled kind of my nighttime fire. You know,
it's the heroin. It doesn't matter whether it's your wonderful series or a podcast or whatever, all that shit, you know, we're recording ahead now to do other shit. So it could be weeks before you listen to this or hear it. And there's no live audience. There's nothing like the good or bad.
Yeah.
There's nothing like the immediate feedback of stand-up comedy. You, even if you're in, I'm in the number one blockbuster film of the year. When's it come out? It's going to be another 8 months. You know right. what I mean? That's that doesn't feel the fucking same.
I know. I was thinking about that when I was having one of those reflective sessions. I talked to Rogan for a while, you know, the other day, because he was talking about, you know, saying goodbye and all that stuff before he takes off. And I was like, man, it's so crazy that not too long ago we were in a fucking arena filled with people. An arena. I mean,
it just months ago.
It's crazy. And he was like, man, isn't that fucked up? And we were supposed to go to Vancouver for 420. And all these plans that had kind of gone by the wayside that I had so much excitement for. All I want to say to myself and to the public is, when it does come back, we can't fucking wait to come. Like, I can't wait to go back. Like, I am so excited for when it comes back, because I still have hope. It's going to be the best tour. I'm going to have the most fun on tour that I've ever had in my fucking life, because
that's exactly, go ahead,
we realize how fleeting it is.
Fragile.
It's like, I'm
going to
have
is,
so much yep. more fun, man. I cannot fucking wait. Yes. Like something I started that I kind of got away from because it just didn't work. But I was doing this Fridays with a fan where I just had fans email from whatever city. And it was like, I'm going to pick somebody and we're going to kick it during the day. Cause I was doing weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I changed because I was doing small theater. So that was harder because it was on a Tuesday or what, but people have to work, you know, but I was doing Fridays with a fan, making people take off work and kicking it with them. And it was so much fun. And I know when the tour comes back, regardless of when, I want to do that again. Just because it was just so like, it just made me feel how important it was in terms of what I was doing socially. It was like having fun with a fan, also enjoying a city, and then going to have a good show at night. I mean, it was just like the trifecta. It was so fucking, it made me soak up what I was doing a little bit more. And I want to get back to that. So I hope when we do get back, it'll be that kind of vibe of like,
yeah,
just eat it up, dude. You know, eat I never sat in my hotel room. I never ever sat, you know, I know guys that sit and they just jerk off and watch TV until the show. Never, dude. I always was out, trying to find some shit, do some shit. Cause it's your life. You forget. You're like, bro, it's not another weekend, another city. This is your life. You're
it's
still
your
alive.
Job
yeah. It's
right
my
now.
Job. I'm yeah. alive. This is my life. I can't just do this and then go, well, I just can't wait to get home. It's like, that's not it. You have to live while you're living, because yeah. otherwise, look at what happens. It gets taken away from you.
I'm saying, like, I never thought I would say anything like this to my kids, but hey, if you don't want to go to college, fuck college.
Fuck college.
Just be happy. Because right now, nobody's going to fucking college.
Right.
I was literally on a Zoom call this morning with a bunch of other fucking parents for kindergartners.
Mm-hmm.
My stepson's going to be a senior. I can't imagine. You know, I don't blame him one bit that he feels like school's over. Yeah, it feels like that because you don't have to go to that fucking building.
Yeah.
And guess what? I would too if I was 17.
Same.
I'd be like, fuck
this.
That.
Yeah, I'd be
fuck
out.
That. This isn't what I was signed up for. It's
right.
what we have to do now. So for a lot of people like us, like, oh, well, you're not missing anything. It's like, yeah, well, with hindsight, I don't really give a fuck about graduating. I mean, I can't. Yes.
Yes.
Would I put all the nerves and anxiety in the pomp and circumstance of literally walking down the aisle and graduating from high school? No.
No.
No. But no. To a kid that has been busting their ass, there's valedictorians out there that
right.
aren't going to be able to get up and speak. And, you know, so it's many
wild.
Things going on.
Zoom speeches.
Zoom.
Yeah.
That's what I was on today, a fucking Zoom call. So, you know, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to. This country's about to get a whole lot dumber with these parents. Us parents, we were told we had to do this shit once. I don't even know how to do
yeah.
the math, y'all. You change math.
Bro, I can't.
This
I can't.
Country's about to be. It's already dumb. It's about to get real fucking dumb
say,
with
I would
all
just
of
say,
us
put them to work. You know, put them to work. Even
mm-hmm.
the kindergartner, put them to work.
It
just
might
get them
be
out there
a
in the
shift
fields.
Like that. Get in. I'm going to bring all the kids in here and be like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's
let
go.
Them teach each other and
mm-hmm.
shit. Find the smartest kid and I'll just talk to him for a couple hours. Because I don't know how I would deal with that. I have a friend.
Could you imagine right now though being 16 and told you just got to stay in the house with your parents every fucking day
and
for
take
months.
Class on a computer?
You'd be like, fuck that. Yeah,
that'd be too hard, man.
Way too hard.
I don't get it. And I don't know, man. I don't know what the future of that even means, especially because we live in a city.
So
where,
I'm saying, who knows what the future of anything is? Do whatever the
fuck you want.
That's
yeah.
it.
Have some fun.
Have fun. That's
yeah.
it. Like, if this doesn't help you with stress and anxiety, then you haven't been that stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
This is telling you right now that, hey, all that shit that you thought mattered, it doesn't.
No.
It can be taken away. We always think about, you know, don't want to take tomorrow for granted. It could be taken away. Usually when we all mean that, I mean, at least for me especially, I'm talking about death.
Yeah.
It can be, it's gone.
That's what I usually think.
Right. Yeah. It can be gone. You don't think like, yeah, but you're going to have to sit in your fucking house while there's a goddamn virus out there. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. You're like, is it going to kill me?
Nah.
No, not right now.
I can watch TV. The air won't be deadly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Water. Mm-hmm. All the food I need. Shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But I can't do stand up.
No. Mm-mm. What?
What? Can't go to work. Mm-mm.
I mean, that's my only hope is that.
It is time to do what the fuck you want out there and go for it. Whatever it is.
Yeah. And
face tattoo it up.
Get a face tattoo. Get that motorcycle.
Yeah.
Don't wear the helmet.
Fuck that helmet.
It's increasing the death rate. Yeah. Fuck it. Dude. Seatbelt's gone. Fuck the rules.
At this point, why the fuck not?
Yeah, I think have some fun. Try your best. That's all. I always say that to people. I'm like, oh, try your best. I don't know. Fuck it. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? This thing is going to be what it is for a while, and then we'll come out on the other side and we'll look back and go, God damn, that was fucking wild. But who knows what the other side looks like. So in the meantime, I'm just going to keep plugging away, having fun. And then maybe we'll make it out and be okay on the other side. Maybe not. And if not, whatever. Whatever. It was all right.
All right. It's been a great, you know what?
It's been all right.
If you'd have told 16-year-old me that I would have had any of the experiences I've been fortunate enough to have in this crazy business.
Yeah.
I would have been jumping through the roof.
Same.
Wait, what? I get to go do Joe Rogan's podcast? Yeah, and it's going to be one of the biggest shows in the world. What? You know, I get to have fucking Tommy Lee on my 60. What?
Yeah, it's wild.
You'd be jumping up 100%. And fucking down.
Yeah, 100%. I think about that stuff too sometimes.
And they're like, yeah, it's going to go great for you. You're going to be doing so good. Oh, yes. But wait, what? But then there's this virus. Wait, what are you talking about? I get AIDS or something? No. The whole world's going to get it. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's global AIDS. It's lung AIDS.
And things are going to just get shut down. You're not going to be able to do anything.
Your shit's going to suck for a while.
All right. Okay.
But I would have taken it. I would have taken the hit.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, fine.
I would take the hit. Our water's not poison. Our air's not poison. No. Like, this fucking sucks. There ain't a person out there. It's like, I'm thriving. Maybe there is. I do want to meet the motherfucker.
There's some people that are doing
yeah,
well.
There's some billionaires.
There's some billionaires being like, I've made more money.
I
want to
meet the power walker out there. It's like, what? 2020 is my year. You know what I mean? Like, I want to. That's what we should do, a podcast called 2020 was my year.
And my talk to people that thrive. Yeah. My fourth yacht is doing very well. Thank you.
I diversified my portfolio more than I ever have.
You know,
there
are people making big money. Yeah. Big money.
Yeah.
But, God bless the people that are out of work that are trying to fucking make it work and trying to get back to functioning. Because that's tough. I get that. That's tough.
It's fucking scary for everybody. Yeah. Even if you have money, at some point, most people didn't have money. A lot of people born into it. And you remember when $20 meant a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when $20 was a weekend.
Yeah, 40 was scary to get out of the ATM. Yes. Remember that when you're like, 40 bucks? What the fuck am I going to do? This is 2 weeks.
This is half the month right here, guys.
Just got 2 weeks out of the fucking ATM.
Yeah.
That was scary. I remember taking out 40 bucks being like, woo, got a budget.
My knees buckle.
I'd hide the other 20. Don't use it.
Yeah.
That was like the first time we went to Vegas. We were sober. I had $100 and I was like, I can't lose all this. I can't lose this $100 in Vegas. And I spent it within the first like 6 hours and I was panicking. I was like, I lost all my fucking money.
I knew when our neighborhood was not great in Baltimore, when I could go to the Provident Bank. It was called Provident Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And a minimum withdrawal was $5. I swear to God, you could get a five out.
$5.
Yes.
Just give me five, bro.
You could in that Baltimore neighborhood.
And people got it, too. They needed it.
I got it. Yeah. I'm over there slipping a five out just to go to McDonald's and shit. You know, like.
Just five. Can you give me four? Is four good? It's only $3.99. Just hit me with four and I'll walk.
$5 before the debit card and all the bang, 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 you know, all that shit. $5.
And now cash is out. No one's going to use cash anymore.
No one's touching it. Coins are gone.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm okay with coins. Get the fuck out of here with the coin thing. They got to go.
We don't need them.
We don't need them. I think they got to go. I'm ready for a cashless society. I know
it sounds
terrible.
All right, let me ask you this question. I haven't asked anybody this.
Yeah.
Let's say, hypothetically, live entertainment. You could still podcast, whatever. Stand up. Stand-up's gone, though, forever. They come out and they say, no, it's illegal, banned. It's never going to happen again.
Good.
What are you going to do? What would you do? We're too old to go for
it.
But I'm still doing
all my other shit.
You could do podcast. Yeah, all that shit. What would you do, though, to fill the void of stand-up?
I'd probably I'd probably pack. Well, first of all, I'd keep podcasting and I'd try to do the TV show if I could still act. But I would, I'd honestly focus more of my time on creating different shit, which is kind of what we're trying to do right now.
That's what
I'm
doing.
Just keep trying to create different new shit.
Yeah.
I would secretly, my secret.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to make music so bad, more than anything. But I don't really want to give it to anybody. I don't want to put it out anywhere. I'm not trying to achieve.
Are you a singer? Are you talking about producing?
Yeah, I want to just make music
with
people.
You're going
to rap? No, I want to make music with people.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't care what it is. I just want to, I'd love to be a producer. I would love to produce with people. Give my influence, give my opinions. I can play a couple instruments here and there.
What do you play?
Name it.
What do you play guitar, I played
drums
piano?
I played drums when I was young.
Really?
That was like my foray into music. Yeah, I learned on drums when I was a kid and then my mother took them away.
Yeah, right.
School
yeah.
slipped a little bit. She was like, you're not going to get to bang on fucking drums if you can't get a C, you know? I was like, I'm fine, but you know.
It ain't going to matter in 2020,
bitch,
mom.
Bitch, when the pandy hits.
The pandy hits,
just ain't going to matter, mama. Yeah. Music. I would love to learn more of the digital space of music because I'm fascinated with it. I'm fascinated by digital. I think it's crazy. I know it's not people's favorite. You know, people still love, you know, physically making music with instruments. But there's something about digital that's mind bending to me. I think it's the future of everything. I think at some point we'll just only use instruments. Are tough. It's hard to lug around all that big ass drum set. I know it's the sound is better. I know it feels better for those that play, but I'm fascinated by digital music. There's something about it that all that sound is captured and created.
Right.
In a thing, and I can manipulate it a billion different
right.
ways.
You can do more with it than an instrument actually can.
At some point, right? I mean, yeah. it's generated all the sounds it could possibly generate, but nothing sounds better than that. But I just think there's something about music. I've always had akin to music. I've always had like an obsession with ingesting it and wanting to make it, but I just don't. If I had the time, that's what I would do. I would spend all my nights making music. Duncan Trussell tried to get me into some shit. He wanted me to order one of those fucking what do they call it? It's like a board with all those plugs, and he's like,
I watch Shaq. Shaq loves that shit.
It is wild. Yeah, it's wild. I don't know why I can't know the name, but I'm stupid. But Duncan and I were messing with that for hours. I was fascinated with how cool it was. It was just so intricate. And also simple. He's like, you can make it whatever you want. There doesn't have to have any kind of rhythm or movement to it. He's like, it is what you want it to be. And I don't know. I like that. I like that a lot. That I think is my little secret that one day maybe I'll get into if I can ever get the balls to like go buy the shit and just sit down and do it for hours and hours.
I'm just going to keep, like I was telling you before this, creating shows, different shows, lead with comedy.
You're already making
mostly. Them. Yeah. But you know, we've got some other really cool shit coming up, but, and then just help kids.
Yeah,
I want to help kids. I want to help people that, you know, this show definitely does, which I never even set out to do that. I love comedians and I've always loved talking to someone who can tell you the worst fucking story and still make you fucking laugh so hard about something in there.
Right.
Where you're like, who is this person that can fuck? So I've been fortunate with this show that I've gotten to fall in love with comedians all over again and just reappreciate how fucking not only fucked up they are, but how they can take that fucked up
and make it
funny.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so. It is a blessing for sure to like.
There's no doubt.
I say that all the time to my old lady. I would say because we're sick, something's wrong with us. We see things really weird, and it's not like I'm saying we're not special. I just know that when I speak to other people, the way we see things is just like it's an inch off center. It's like a little bit like, because I say stuff and someone will go, oh yeah, I didn't know. And it's in my mind, I'm like, that's very normal. I can't believe you don't think about it like that.
Me too. For the longest time, like why is that? Yeah.
Well, it's because we just have a little bit, we just view it a little bit differently. If you have comedy in your blood, there's something about it that's
unexplainable. That was my whole family was that way. Yeah. Certainly none of them were stand-up comedians, but they would make light of this tragedy and always drop a joke in there, always switch a gear, always something. And you're like, I'd rather run with that pack of people than the woe is me, you know, pity party people over here. Like, fuck that. We same problems. We're just doing a lot differently.
Totally.
Dealing with them.
Well, that's I think it comes from comedy has almost uniquely in its history always come from not just tragedy, but from hardship, right?
Like pain,
most of the funniest people you know came from tough places. I'm not saying you need to come from a tough world to be funny. I've said that before, but It helps, I guess. I don't know. I think something about it helps because it shapes the way you view the world. If everything is hunky dory,
exactly.
It's kind of like, you know, what do you have to, your perspective is not that harsh because you didn't really have to live the harshness.
Right.
Right. It's like if you never rode a bus, you wouldn't know how to write a joke about riding the bus.
That's right.
But even if you never rode a bus, if I've written a joke funny enough about that bus,
you'll relate to it.
You'll get it. Yep. Yeah. Even if you never rode the bus.
That's right.
So something about that, there's something about that, the things that bind us. I'm watching a good show, by the way, called Connected on Netflix. You should watch.
Okay.
It's fucking brilliant for people that are listening. If you were looking for a new documentary series, it's all about how we are inherently completely interconnected. As
no
cliche
doubt.
As it sounds,
we are.
This show breaks it down to the simple, the dust in the Saharan desert is affecting the way you eat and the way things grow. And the way, it's just something so minute always translates into a million other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating, dude, how it affects the Amazon and how it rains there and the patterns of which affect the way food grows that gets to you, the way the ocean eats, the way it blocks. It's just like, it's the most fascinating
connected.
Shit. Connected. Connected on
Netflix.
Phenomenal
watch. Yeah. Connected and yeah. Dave. On Hulu.
Watch Dave on Hulu. Yeah, if you have Hulu.
I love you, dude.
Watch it.
Please,
I love you
plug
too.
Plug everything again.
Yeah, no, watch Dave on Hulu. We're coming out with another season next year, but in the meantime, watch Bad Friends, me and Bobby Lee's podcast on YouTube and everywhere you could listen to it, and Whiskey Ginger, which is my solo show with a guest. Sick Dog was on it. You're going to come back and do it now that we're in the new studio.
Yeah.
And hang out. And other than that, dude, you know, keep supporting this community because this is what keeps us going right now because we can't be out there seeing you, so this helps. So appreciate you, brother.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.